So we're 3 weeks into the new year now. A couple weeks ago. Oh, you have a question? Was your hand up? Oh, I saw your hand up out of the corner of my eye. I was distracted by Jackson, so. You what?
I said I don't raise my hand up, just blur.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of the normal thing. That's fine. Alright, so a couple weeks ago, I gave you guys all a bingo card. So I'm going to try and, I'm not going to talk about it like every week, but I'm going to try and bring it up throughout the year to remind you guys, to like encourage you to keep going on it. We're still in January, so if you haven't got started on it yet, you still have time. You can still hit all of the things on the bingo board, even if you haven't started yet. What? You don't have one? I have some extras. Yeah, you guys weren't here. I have some extras. I say that. Yeah, I think I have. That one's mine. I literally have two left over.
And I have all these bingo dollars that I'm waiting to use.
I have a bunch. I have a bunch. I didn't
think I was to that age.
Do you have one too?
You don't
have one? Alright, I'll get you guys one.
So, the goal of it is really just, I talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I don't do New Year's resolutions. I feel like New Year's resolutions, for the most part, get broken like within the first couple weeks. I don't know what the stats are on it, but it's a lot of them. A big percentage get broken. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to work on things and try to, you know, improve in our, you know, relationship with the Lord, obviously, is a priority. But it can be physical goals. It can be athletic goals, academic goals, like whatever, you know, thing that you want to try to get better in. Maybe you want to get a job this year, or you want to try and save up some money, or you want to get a car or whatever. Like, you know, you should have some goals that you're shooting for, especially if you guys are in high school. You should be thinking about college. Is that what you're going to do? You know, are you going to just go straight into the workforce? Are you going to do a trade school? You know, whatever the thing is. But you should all have goals that you're aiming for. So the bingo sheet is just kind of a guideline, just some things that I came up with that are helpful things to help you grow. And so that's the point of this class, is to grow. And so it's more likely that that will happen if you have something that you're aiming at. I like having something that I can, like, challenge myself to check off every single day. Like, and then when I get streaks going, then I don't want to miss a day, because I don't want to have to miss, you know, checking something off on my paper. What's up, Hallie? So, you know, the longer... Ethan.
Shh. Ethan.
Okay, just stop goofing around.
Come over here.
So, yeah, you should be having goals in your life, just in general. And so the bingo sheet is just a guideline to kind of help you give some targets of things that you can aim for. If you don't want to do that, come up with your own goals and do something else. It doesn't have to be those things. Those are just some ideas, just to kind of help you get growing. Because I don't know about you guys, if you think about where you were in January of 2025 versus where you are today as far as your spiritual walk goes, like, are you different than you were then? I know some of you guys got saved last year, so that's obviously a huge step in the right direction as far as having a relationship with God. But you know, like, if you were already saved before January of last year, how much has your walk with the Lord changed in 12 months? And so if you don't have a target of, like, I want to get better, here's some areas I'm going to strive in to get better. So, like, on your bingo sheet, there's praying daily, there's reading your Bible daily, there's memorizing scripture, there's memorizing books of the Bible. Some of you guys have been coming to this church for, like, your whole life, and you don't know where Isaiah is in your Bible, or pick another random book. You don't know where those books are because you haven't memorized the books of the Bible. So challenge yourself to memorize the books of the Bible. That's a small thing. It's not that complicated. You can probably do it in, I don't know, an hour of practice, or, you know, take 2 minutes every day for a week and you'll have it figured out. It's pretty easy stuff to do, but it's just about, like, actually doing it. And it's about having something that you're shooting for. And like I said, I like to be able to check things off. It makes me feel like I've accomplished something, you know, like, we make lists so we can check stuff off or cross them off or whatever. So on the back of the bingo sheet, there's places to check off every time that you do those things, so you can keep track of it. So hopefully maybe that challenges you. So I was thinking about just that bingo sheet, and then I was just thinking about other things that you guys can do in your life to set goals for yourself. So I already mentioned a few things, but like a financial goal, you know, maybe you want to save up some money so you can buy something. Or maybe you want to set an academic goal. You're going to try to, you know, increase your GPA. If you're in high school and that's important to you and you want to strive to do that, like, it's going to take some effort. You have to turn in your assignments on time. You have to study for your tests. You have to show up to class. You have to pay attention. All those kinds of things. If you're into sports, like, maybe you want to get better at your sport, or you want to move from JV to varsity, or maybe you're in middle school and you're about to go into high school next year and you want to be on, you know, the varsity team. So you're going to have to, you know, lift extra, run more, whatever the thing is, to hit that athletic goal. Maybe it's a career goal. If you're a junior or a senior in high school and you're not thinking about what you're going to be doing after high school, you know, it's probably a good time to start thinking about that. What are your plans, and set some goals. So, just three, like, quick, easy things for setting goals. Make them specific. Have a specific goal. It's not, a good goal is not something like generic. Like, I want to get better at walking with the Lord. Okay, what does that even mean? How do you do that? If you just say, I want to get better in my walk with the Lord, I want it to improve this year, or I want to save some money this year, or, you know, like, if it's just generic, like, you know, okay, well, I saved $5. Does that count? Did you hit your goal? You know, like, okay, I read my Bible once this year. Did you technically grow from where you were last year? Maybe. So get specific. You know, I want to improve my mile time by 30 seconds. I want to lose 5 pounds. I want to, you know, read my Bible 2 times every week for the whole year. I want to do, you know, like, set a specific goal. Make it realistic. That's the second thing. Make your goal realistic. If you've never read your Bible before and you don't know where to start, you know, you probably aren't going to read 300 days this year. Okay? That's a lofty expectation. Maybe you can. I'm not saying don't try, but be realistic in your goals. Okay? Like, if you're not good at math, you know, maybe your goal should not be, I'm going to have the highest grade in my math class. You know, that might not be an achievable goal for you if you've struggled with math your whole life. So, you know, be thinking about how can I make it realistic? Make it, like, reachable. Because if you make an unrealistic goal and then you say, like, okay, by the end of the year, I want to have done this thing, and it's like some, you know, way out of reach goal. Halfway through the year or a month into the year and you haven't seen any progress, you're more likely to quit because it's like, well, now, I mean, that was too lofty. I was feeling too ambitious that day. So, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it. And then you're going to quit, you know, before you really even get started. And so make it realistic. And then the last thing is give yourself a deadline or put it on a timeline. So, you know, if your goal is, I want to share the gospel with 3 people. Okay, that's specific. It's probably realistic, but over what period of time? By the end of the week? By the end of the month? By the end of the year? You know, by the time school gets out? Like, what's the timeline? What kind of a, you know, timeline are you talking about? Give yourself a deadline. I want to save $500. Okay, over what period of time? By the end of the year? Next week? Off of your paycheck? Like, what is the goal? Be specific, be realistic, and have a deadline. Because if you don't have a deadline, then it could just go on forever. And as long as you hit it eventually, then you've achieved that goal. So, so have those 3 things when you're setting goals for yourself. Again, spiritual goals or just goals in life. You know, have some, like, targets with those things. The main thing is just to be improving, taking steps. The nice thing about setting a goal, especially with a shorter timeline, so, you know, maybe you would say, okay, for the bingo cards, you know, it says to read your Bible, I think 25 times is the first thing. Okay, well, by the end of February, I want to be able to check that off. I want to be at 25 times by the end of February. Okay, that's about, I don't know, 40 days. Okay, so you got to read almost every other day, or a little more often than every other day. And so it's achievable, it's realistic, it's specific, it has a deadline, and so then you can shoot for that. And then, you know, if you're by the end of February and you look at it and you say, I missed it by 3 days, or, oh yeah, I hit it, and I had like a week to spare. And then you can reset another goal. Like, if it's a short-term goal like that, you give yourself some, like, easy wins, and you can get some momentum and get some excitement. Our brains are, you know, super capable, but, like, sometimes they're easy to trick. You know, like, we can do little things to trick our mind into, like, achieving the goals that we want to set. So, you know, if you can get some of those quick wins, things like that. So, like, let me get my bingo card. I don't even know what's on there. Yeah, okay, participate in a ministry event. Okay, if you go to the ladies' conference or winter jam, or if you're playing volleyball or helping with volleyball, like, you can check that off. And gives you, like, that little, like, boost of encouragement, and it's like, okay, now I'm going to move on to the next one. What else can I do? Oh, I got to memorize my books of the Bible. Okay, I'm going to sit down this week. I'm going to memorize those books of the Bible. I got to memorize 10 verses. Okay, well, let me pick some short verses that I can get easy. I told you they have to be more than, I think I put 5 words. Did I put 5 words? Yeah. So you can't do Jesus wept or pray without ceasing or, the easy ones. You got to like at least do a little bit harder one, but there's some short verses that you can get and like that are 5 words or more. So do some little stuff to like give yourself a little bit of momentum. And so it's a simplistic way of looking at things, and it's like, oh yeah, these are like, I can do these things. They're not that difficult. And I know we talk about this stuff all the time. Read your Bible and pray. Like I say that every single time where I'm up here. But, it's like we have to be reminded. And we're going to look in a passage here in just a minute about, how often as humans we need to be reminded to do some of those simple things. And so, I say it all the time because I'm reminding myself and I'm reminding all of you guys to make sure that we're doing those things. So does anybody have any success or failures that they've hit already this year, whether it's with these bingo cards or it's with just in general? Have you made any goals or any plans or anything that you would like to share with the group, whether you've succeeded in it or you're on target for it or you're behind and you need us to pray for you or anything like that? Nobody has to share, but I just thought.
I'm staying up on the 52 weeks for sure.
Noise. Who's doing 52 weeks? Are you guys both doing it? Are you guys doing it?
We've been doing it for the last 2 years.
Okay, you're doing it too, and Brenda's doing it, I know. It's 52 weeks of pursuit. It's a reading plan. Are you doing it with?
No.
Passpoint? Okay. No. Passpoint's doing it. It's, I don't even know exactly what it is, but it's, you're reading through the Bible in a year. You're doing 52 weeks in a year. And it's like a workbook that goes along with the passage. So you read the workbook, you read the passage.
Mark,
I think exactly.
It's a lot of commentary. And
yeah.
You can read it before or after. It's notes. It just breaks it down, gives you a different insight into the chapter. Gives you a better. It just read out with a different perspective. Makes it a little
easier. Yeah. So
digestible.
I know Passpoint's doing that, and
it's just digestible.
Yeah. Some of those harder to like understand passages. You get somebody else to give some commentary to break it down. Makes it a little bit easier to understand what it is that you're getting ready to read or what you just got done reading.
He gives like cross references, verses, and just other things.
Mark Trotter does a good job of laying it out. Like there's already been stuff that's like I've read the story of Abraham and Isaac a million times and still I didn't catch.
Makes you think about things you wouldn't. Like you read a passage and you read the face. Like, oh, I didn't think about that.
And yeah.
Just the rain coming, it's a picture of his head having the crown of thorns. I've never picked up on that.
It's just every year we do the reading plan, and you get, like you said, it just falls flat on his face. It just makes you retain more information.
Yeah.
That was my purpose for doing it last year, starting last year. I didn't want to read it just to read it. Just so I can stay caught up and be in my group chat and message every day to try to keep up with them. And, I wanted to gain from my reading, not just read to read.
Right. Yeah. It does give you a different way of reading when you're reading to, like, get something from it. So, like, whether you're getting ready to teach a devotion or you're just reading from it so you can text your, group of people or whatever that's going on. Like, it does give you a little bit of different. You're reading and you're like, okay, I gotta come up with something that I'm reading. I gotta pay attention and know what I'm reading so I can share that with somebody else. So that's good. Anybody else have anything? Yeah.
So I throw track in.
You what?
I throw track.
Throw track? I've never heard the verb throw go with the word track.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you throw shot put or javelin or.
Yeah,
hammer or whatever. Discus, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so my older siblings do that, and they're like 25, like almost 30. And
they still do it?
Well,
what they do in high school?
My brother comes for a college up near Iowa, and he said that I could probably get my sister and I to go throw and meet together, which is insane, because I never thought I could throw with them, because I used to watch them at college track meets, throw and everything.
Yeah.
Now I get to participate along with them.
So you've been practicing? Nice. When are you doing that?
March. And there's some indoor meets there.
Cool. Are they high school meets?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But you're not doing it with the high school.
He throws a rock. No, I throw an 8-pound ball.
you throw 8-pound balls.
That's a different shot put and discus are different.
How many? It's about a ball about as big as you, Ethan. It should throw you across the room. I agree. The average human head weighs eight pounds.
Yeah. What?
How many yards? 10 meters.
Like 10 yards, give or take. One of them's a little bit longer than the other, but it's like negligible.
Meters like 3.3 feet.
Yeah, yards is just 3 feet, so.
So like 30 yards.
30
no,
feet.
10 yards and 10 meters are almost the same.
Feet.
30 feet.
33 feet. 31.
Oh.
It's 11 yards.
All right. Anybody else have anything they would like to share? Positive, negative? Yes, Jacob.
For me to be able to start dancing on point instead of flat.
Have you been using your bar that you got?
Yes, I've been trying, but one of my coaches is really telling me.
Ooh. How's your ankles?
My ankles are fine. It's just
you're just your toes? Mm.
I did a backflip.
Like standing flat-footed and did a backflip?
No, I'm sure I'm flipping.
There's no action or speed.
Huh?
There's no speed.
What do you have your hand up for? Do you have something to share?
Do a handstand.
Lincoln has been actively working on doing a handstand. Pretty much every day he practices handstands. After class, you can show him.
Are you still 3D printing strong?
Yeah, pretty much every night before he goes to bed, he starts like a 4 or 5 or 6 hour print.
Wow.
So he can get something printing.
Bro, all the stuff that I've been doing recently
has been sailing. He's blowing through filament.
Yeah, I printed like a gun, but there was no assembly video, so I just got like a...
Dude, it had so many small pieces. And I'm like, how do you put it together? And he's like, I don't know.
This guy 3D prints a gun.
Yeah.
Was that one the toothpick gun or the Q-tip gun?
No, it was the other one.
But what did it shoot though?
It was just like a figure. Slime was my
brother. Oh, okay. All right, back on track. Anybody else have anything to share?
What?
Yes.
I managed to invite someone to church.
Nice. You managed to invite somebody. And got her to come? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, okay, that was like, I invited lots of people, and I got my friend, actually.
Okay, nice. That's a big win.
I'm going to play a giant saxophone for my next band concert.
Are you?
No. It's like this big. It's a giant.
Nice.
Big as me.
Does the school have one, or you bought one?
Oh, well, I'm using this one.
Yeah. Cool.
Where are my instruments like the Chinese thing?
Yeah, I use it at school, but I take my
people school event and then that's it.
Noise. Alright, anybody else got anything that they would like to share?
I ate lunch today.
My
dance team will be able to do really well and maybe just make it to start a dance team at my school.
What?
To get like more pins to the S.
Okay.
Like 5.
Okay.
We handed out.
He wants to get 5 pins by the end of the season.
We handed out reading plan on Sunday. And we got 1 kid to participate.
Nice. What do you mean participate? Somebody just said they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. It's good. Baby steps.
What's
right.
Reading plan?
It's where you plan what you're going to read.
Open up to Second Kings. Chapter 17.
Is that like your favorite Second Kings?
Well, no. Does there have to be 2 Kings?
I don't think I've ever taught out of Second Kings.
Why can't you talk?
But yeah, that's where I'm reading it.
Yeah.
That's my view. You might have heard this already.
LeBron.
All right, Second Kings, chapter 17.
This is important.
Yes.
The chiefs have agreed to a multi-year deal with Eric the Enemy.
Great.
With Eric the Enemy.
Yeah,
you're the enemy.
Shake my head.
With who?
All right. Eric Bieniemy. He was their old offensive coordinator like 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
2 Kings 17, starting verse 24. 17:24. All right, so it's a chunk of a passage. Let's go around and read it. I can read. I'll read the first verse, and then you want to go this? Okay.
I'll go here. And
then. All right. Caleb down to Lucas, back up to Dylan. Cross this row, cross that row, and then up this side. We won't make it very far. I'll tell you if you don't start reading. I'll tell you. All right. 2 Kings 17:24 says, and some of these verses have some words that are hard to pronounce. So just do your best. I don't know how to pronounce them either. So just see what comes out. And the king of Assyria, is everybody there?
Yes.
All right. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof.
And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them.
First of all, really fast, sorry to interrupt you, Adeline. That's crazy. Is that crazy? Did you guys hear what that verse just said? I don't know if I've ever read that verse. I mean, I've read that verse before, but I don't remember it.
They didn't feel the Lord, and he sent lions that killed them.
Yeah, that's crazy. Thank goodness that we live in the age of grace and not getting slaughtered by lions because we don't fear God. Okay, Adam, sorry to interrupt. 26.
Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed in place in the cities of Samaria, now not the manner of God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of God of the land, of the God of the land.
Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of God of the land. And one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord.
Okay, real fast, again, break. Okay, so they're having a problem not fearing the God of the land. God sends lions in and kills a bunch of them. And then they're like, okay, we got to fix this. So go get one of the priests that knows about God and can teach us how to fear God so this lion attack business doesn't happen anymore. And so he goes and gets the priest, and he brings him in so he can teach him. All right, verse 29.
Dylan, 29. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt.
Good luck, Levi. This is a rough verse. Just do your best, bro. Short straw.
Babylon made Sikkim.
Yeah.
I can't read that.
Good enough. We all can read it. I don't know what it says either. Yep.
And the men of Kuth made Nergal, and men of Hamath made Ashima.
And the Avites made Nibhaz and Karchak, and the Sepharites burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim.
Okay, so they bring in this priest, and they're like, hey, teach us how to fear the Lord so that these things don't keep happening to us anymore.
Listen.
And literally the first thing that they said in verse 29, instead of learning how to fear the Lord, how be it, okay, so instead of that, every nation made gods of their own, and they put them in high place. So they built these houses, they built temples for these false gods. The whole point of bringing this guy in was to teach them to fear the Lord. And they didn't do that. And then goes, and what you guys just read is the names of some of these gods and the people that they're doing. And then the verse that Lincoln just read, I don't know if you guys picked up on that, it says that they burnt their children in fire. Okay? They're offering child sacrifices. Okay? Like, the wickedness above almost all other wickedness, they're burning their children as offerings and to quote unquote worship these false gods that they've created. And then they've made these temples for them. And now they're sacrificing their children to these gods. Okay? This is the opposite. He's telling you to get your Bible out, bro. This is the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. Well, grab one. He just asked me.
I hate that you want to block one. How are you going to read your verse when it comes to you if you don't have your Bible opened up?
17:17.
Wait, we're all reading?
Yes. I mean, until we run out of verses. Anyways, I want to point out, though, that the guy that they brought in to teach them, they turn around to the exact opposite thing. And it gets worse than this. Keep reading. Or not, maybe not worse than that. But no, we're in chapter 17. We just read verse 31. So 32 is Ashley.
They also feared the Lord and appointed them among themselves all sorts of people as priests of the high places who sacrificed for them in all the shrines of the high places.
They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence.
Macy.
Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances. Or after the law of commandment, which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, who remained Israel.
With whom the Lord had made covenant, and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them.
But the Lord has brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm. Him shall ye fear, and him
Kennedy.
You must always be careful to keep the decrees and regulations of the laws and commandments he wrote for you. Do not worship other gods.
In the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods.
The Lord your God shall ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies.
Albeit they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner.
So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so did they unto this day.
Okay, so they have lions killing people. They bring in somebody to teach them how to do it the right way, how to worship God the right way. Instead, they make up their own gods. They build temples to these gods. They sacrifice their kids to these gods. And they come in, they get corrected again. They're like, no, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. And they even goes through and tells them, the God that delivered you guys from Egypt, that's the God that you're supposed to worship. It says in verse 35, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. It doesn't get much more plain than that, right? It's like, don't do this, do this. And they go over it and they tell them. And you guys read those verses? Okay, but then by the time you get to verse 39, but the Lord your God, verse 40. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So, after all of this, I don't know exactly how much time has passed, but they brought people in to teach them because they were worried about how things were going and they didn't want to be killed by lions. And then they made it so much worse, didn't listen to the instruction that was given to them. And then even after that, when they were like corrected again, they still didn't listen to it. And it says, howbeit they did not hearken. And then in verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord. Okay, they did. They were fearing God, it says. But then they also served their graven images, both their children, this is the sad part, and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. So it became like a generational thing. They, instead of turning and doing the right thing, like the obvious thing, the thing that they're being told that they should be doing, it's like, no, they just go the opposite direction and they don't do what they're being told to do. And even though it's resulting in problems in their life and in their families, people have lost children and loved ones, and yet they make it a generational thing. We're like, we're going to teach our kids. Yeah, take the God of the Israelites. He's good. But also take the God of such and such and the God of such and such and just, you know, spread it out around all of them. And, you know, hopefully one of them is the right God and, you know, you'll be okay if you just, you know, try to serve all of them. And that's just a very dangerous place to be in. But whenever we read this, whenever I read this, I'm like, man, these guys are dumb. How can you go get a priest and you tell him, hey, people are dying around here. These lions are eating people. What are we supposed to do? And he's like, oh, easy. Fear the Lord. Here's how you do it. And they're like, never mind, sorry we asked. And they turn around and they do the opposite thing. And even after being corrected, they continue to do that. And you read it and you're just like, man, these people are just, what is wrong with these people that they can't figure this out? But then these stories in the Old Testament are in there for us to be able to get something from them, right? So when we look at the Israelites throughout the whole Old Testament, it's so easy to look at them and say, man, these guys are dumb. That God is like literally physically revealing himself to them and burning bushes and parting waters and flooding the earth and all these crazy things that he did in the Old Testament. And they look at all those things and they're like, nah, I'm not going to follow that God. And then, but we look at our own life and we're like, yeah, okay, all of you guys go to church. You guys are all regular attenders in this class at least, right? So like we all know the things that we're supposed to be doing. Okay, the reading your Bible and praying, the same thing that we talk about every time. But like, how many of you guys, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys have gods besides the God that you're supposed to serve? Right? All of us, if we were raising our hands, all of us would have our hands up. Because we all prioritize things over God. Maybe not, hopefully not all the time, but we all prioritize things over God. Whether it's school, whether it's video games, whether it's our phone, whether it's our friends, whether it's our job, whether it's whatever. You know, everybody has their thing that we prioritize over God. And we hear it all the time. God needs to be number one in your life. Spend time, you know, either get up in the morning and read first thing in the morning or set aside a dedicated time every day that you can read, like whatever works best for you. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. God answers prayers. And all of us have seen God in our life. If you've gotten saved, I think most or maybe all of you guys in this room are saved. You've seen God like work in your life in a miraculous way, at least for salvation. But then it's like, okay, got it, thank you. I'm going to turn to this other God in my life, and I'm going to prioritize that. And I'm speaking to you guys this way because I do the same things, okay? I don't go straight to my Bible first thing when I wake up in the morning usually. Usually I'm sleeping in as late as I can. I'm getting up, and I'm getting ready for work, and I'm getting out the door. So it's me too. But, man, it's so easy to look at other people in the Bible and just think, How are they missing this, like, obvious thing? They're being told directly to their face, and they have a God who's, like, literally revealing himself in miraculous ways to them, and they're just missing it. And then we look at our own self and, like, man, we miss the boat on this in our own lives all the time. And so, you know, just as we're talking about goals, and we're talking about trying to, you know, make 2026 a year that, you know, that God does things in our life, and all of you guys, a lot of you guys mentioned different goals and things that you're working on. Have all those goals. Write them down. You know, like, look back at them regularly. You know, work to get better in those areas. But we need to be reminded over and over and over again, because it's so easy for our flesh to just, like, drift off and go the wrong way where it's not supposed to be. Even though in our minds and in our heads we know the right thing to do, like, actually doing that, like, walking with the Lord is very difficult. Because we have our flesh and it wants to do what it wants to do. And other things are shiny and distracting, and it gets to be, you know, a problem in our life. And so, you know, don't just assume that, oh, these guys were so dumb they couldn't figure it out, and then miss the fact that maybe you're not figuring it out. Maybe I'm not figuring it out. God put these stories in here for us as a warning, as a reminder to, like, not go down the same path. Don't let these things happen in your life and create a generational problem with your kids or your kids' kids. I know some of you guys are not probably thinking about your grandkids at this point, but time flies, you know, like, be thinking about how you can set up your life in such a way that what you leave behind when you're gone is a legacy that is, like, you know, something positive and not something negative. So, 7:59, let's pray. And if you want to stay and watch Lincoln do a handstand, you're welcome to do that. All right.
Oh, we take a mess so we can bet against them?